We're interested tonight in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. We began yesterday looking at the divine interruptions in the Bible. Times when God would butt into our lives. I have had some people stick their nose in my business, and I didn't like it. But I have never had God stick His nose into my business that after a while I was glad of it. Divine interruptions. And that study is centered around the little phrase, but God. We began yesterday morning looking at being interrupted by His faithfulness. Paul said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful that with that temptation, He'll also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Not going to take the temptation away. Hey, no, He'll not do that. Oh, He'll fix it up where you can go over it. I like that, don't you? Then on last evening, we talked about being interrupted with the love of God. He said, but God commendeth His love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm interested tonight. We wallowed around in the love of God last night. I thought maybe we'd wallow around in the mercy of God tonight. There is a divine interruption of God's mercy. You've been had God stick His nose into your business with His mercy. Oh, I tell you what, honey, if you ever had the mercies of God, you'll have to wave your hands or do something. Notice our text, if you would, beginning to read at verse number 1, chapter number 2. Paul said, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, I'm sure glad that's in there. Hey, I tell you, those first three verses are a horrible picture. Hey, those first three verses, you ain't going nowhere but to hell. You ain't going nowhere else. Hey, I'm telling you, religious experience won't get past them three verses. Huh? You can join all the Baptist churches in Georgia and Alabama both. They ain't going to get you past them three verses. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Divinely interrupted by His mercy. The words grace and mercy are very interesting words when placed in the Scriptures together. If you'll notice here in the Bible tonight, we have them both together. We have here in verse number 4 the mercies of God. And in verse number 5 we have the grace of God. They're very interesting words to the true child of God tonight. What is grace tonight? Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. God, if you go to heaven tonight, it'll be because you don't deserve to go. God giving you and I what we don't deserve. But this word mercy is a whole different ballpark. Mercy is not God giving you what you don't deserve. No, 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 no. Mercy tonight is God withholding from you what you do deserve. See, you deserve to go to hell tonight. But if God withholds it and don't send you to hell, honey, that's mercy. That's mercy. Grace and mercy tonight. Of course, I would remind you, as I reminded you last night, God is not merciful. That is an action. He does not show mercy. No, 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 no. He is mercy tonight. Matter of fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercy. He is the Father of mercy. Oh, it is not that He shows mercy. Oh, no, no, no. He is mercy. I want us to look at this text tonight as we, God would allow us to just swallow around in what God withheld from giving us, we that are saved tonight. And as we step into this text tonight in chapter 2 and verse number 1, I want us to look tonight at before mercy interrupted. Before mercy interrupted. Now, this is true tonight. If you're saved, and I use the word if loosely because I ain't sure of a one of you. The only person I'm sure of in here tonight is me. No, I got... There's not much I'm sure of. But I'm sure of two or three things. I'm sure I'm saved. I'm sure I've been called to preach. And I'm sure that I should be here tonight. And beyond that, I ain't sure of nothing. But I am sure of those three things. But I'm not sure about you. I'm only sure about myself. But if you're saved tonight, this is true of all of us. And if you don't see any kind of characteristics of this in you tonight, go check up tonight and see if God's ever been merciful to you. Withheld from you what you deserve. As I look at this text, before mercy interrupts, before God saved us tonight, I notice in the text tonight, we were a corpse. We were a corpse. Did you notice there in verse number 1? And you hath he quickened who were dead. It's an interesting word. I don't know if you can count or not. It's an awful deep word. It might be over your head. It is a little Greek word for corpse. You ever notice what dead people do? They don't do nothing. That's exactly what you and I could do before you were saved. When you were lost, it was impossible for you to do anything. Dead. No way you could get to God. Honey, if God, if you're here and lost tonight, you know you're lost. If God don't come to you, honey, you is as good as in hell right where you're sitting. Ain't no way you can get out. Oh, no. Ain't no way you're going to get out. Honey, if he don't reach down to you, you'll never reach up to him. Now come! You're dead! I'm telling you, go over here to the funeral home tonight, you can sing Amazing Grace songs, you can take them down to Romans Road, German Road, you can fill the coffin with gospel signs, but they ain't coming!
They dead.
That's our state. Dead tonight, a corpse. That little phrase, dead tonight. You know, if you go to a doctor tonight, doctors deal with people who have minor difficulties, or even a doctor will take on somebody with major difficulties, and they'll work on various parts of the body. And a lot of times they'll get you some quantity of life, and but very seldom they'll ever get you quality of life. I tell you, if you go to a doctor enough, that kills you. You listening to me? But see, Dr. Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, the great physician, see, he don't take nothing but dead people. See, if you come to him and you still got something beating or something breathing, he can't help you. See, that's why some of you have come to God. You initiated it. You come to the altar, you prayed the prayer, you went through all the religious apathy because there was something about you spiritually still moving. You could still do a little something good, you could still do a little something better. You had turned over a new leaf. Oh, I tell you, I straightened up, turned over a new leaf, I'm going to do better. God can't help you, huh? God don't take nothing but dead people. That's the only people he's interested in. I love to hang on that. That has turned my crank, don't you? I'm talking about before mercy interrupted. I was wondering tonight, you know, my mom and dad's told me so much about when I was born, I almost thought I was there. You know, sometimes I get to thinking about it and I say, Grace, I almost remember it happening.
And you know, really and truly, I don't know nothing about being born in 1948. But I sure do remember being born again. But there's something I can remember. I was wondering tonight, you got any historical remembrance of being dead spiritually? You couldn't get to God. No way you could get to Him. He was too far out of your reach. Even when you thought about it, you said, oh, grace, that'd be impossible. I never could get saved. I could never live that life. Oh, grace, I wouldn't even think about it. Before mercy interrupted, we were a corpse. But I notice in this text, we were a corpse. I noticed the coffin that we were in. The Bible says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass. Oh, not only did Satan have me dead the night I was a corpse, I couldn't get to God. But He had me in a coffin. What kind of coffin did He have you in? Because He had me in a coffin of trespasses. That little word trespass is there. And the little word literally means to step over the boundary lines of God. The little word trespass is there. It has the idea of one who has no footing spiritually. They cannot stand upright spiritually. Oh, I tell you what, Satan had me in a coffin. Before you got saved, you remember being in that coffin?
Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, I don't have no recollection of that. I tell you what, honey, if you don't have any recollection of that, there's a good chance you ain't never been saved. Never. I notice that in his coffin tonight, he says that I was dead in trespasses and sins. That little word we dealt with it yesterday, to miss the mark. And not share in the prize. I'm telling you tonight, I was dead. And Satan had me in the coffin of trespasses and sin. I have seen the old devil. He is hell's undertaker. I've done seen him get the crank out of his pocket. Get the what? Get the crank out of his pocket. Have you never been to a funeral before? Have you never sat right up close to the front when the two undertakers come there to the front and close the coffin before the family comes in? One of them old boys got the crank in his pocket. He'll reach in his hand and get that crank out of his pocket. And while they're folding up everything real nice, get the jewelry off of them and closing the lid, one of them old boys got a crank in their pocket. They'll stick it in the side and they'll crank it about two or three times. You're sitting up there close to the front, you can hear it when it air seals. Tell you, Satan had done closed the lid on me. And you know what? I did not even have the spiritual ability to scratch on the top of the box and tell somebody I was in there and I needed to get out. But God. Just fall around in there for a little while. Oh, He done put the lid down on me. I was a daughter for sure. I was dead in trespass. He done closed the lid on me. But God! Of course. You have any recollection of that?
Yes, I pray for I'm saved. I ain't asking you if you're saved tonight. I'm asking you had any recollection before mercy interrupts. Paul's son tells what we were like before mercy interrupts. See, if you ain't got no recollection of being lost, you ain't got no recollection of being saved. It's had some kind of religious experience.
But not only were we a corpse, but I noticed from the Bible, we were controlled. We were controlled. The Bible says in chapter number 2 and verse number 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In that lost condition, I had my path according to this world. This age here. When we think about this world's course, John said that this world is cradled in wickedness. This world layeth in the lap of wickedness. What is the philosophy of the world? More is better. Honey, I tell you what, when I was lost, I bought in hook, line, and sinker. More is better. Hey, preacher, what's the world's philosophy? If it feels good, do it. I tell you what, when Satan had me air sealed in that coffin, I couldn't even scratch up and tell anybody spiritually I was dead. If there's one thing that went on in me, if it felt good, I'd do it. I'd do it. What is the world's philosophy tonight? Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow, we'll die. I was enjoying the trip. I was walking according to the course of this world. How come?
Oh, I was under control. I was a corpse. I notice in this control tonight, Paul said, not only did we walk according to the course of this air, this world, but according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Who's the prince of the power of the air? Oh, that's Satan. I didn't know if you know it or not, but he's the god of this world. The Bible calls him the god of the air. He's in charge of the air. I tell you what, if God opened our eyes tonight, there's probably imps of hell hanging all off of them chandeliers off of there. They're probably all swinging up over here. Just wondering, wonder who we can get in here tonight. Huh? Oh, son, this is a big thing. I was thinking about that again today. I was meditating. He's the God of the air. That's what the text said. Did you see it? He said he is the prince of the power of the air. He's the God of this world. You ever given any thought to how Jesus is going to consummate this thing for his children? He said he's going to consummate it in a thing called the rapture. He said we're going to meet him in the air. We're going to become one with him right in the devil's front yard. Right up underneath of his nose, where he has had all power and all jurisdiction for 6,000 years. God's going to meet you and I, and we're going to become one with Jesus right up under the devil's nose, and he ain't going to be able to do a thing about it. Son, isn't that good? I come, preacher! Mercy. God withholding from us what we deserve tonight. He says in this condition tonight of being controlled, he said in verse number 3, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind. I was controlled by my appetites. Whatever I had a hunger for, that's what I would feed my mind. Now come, preacher. That was before mercy interrupted. We were a corpse. We were controlled. But I notice in this text, not only were we a corpse, we were controlled, but we were condemned. I notice in the text there, verse number 3, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. My whole entire life, same with you tonight. Before you got saved, if you're saved tonight, I don't know if you're saved or not, but the whole entire time, Satan has had the hammer of wrath cocked over you. Isn't that something? Do you know some of you in this building tonight are one heartbeat away from going to hell? Satan has got the hammer. He's asking Jesus all the time, let me go and send them. Let me slip them on in there. Am I? The only thing holding back the judgment of God upon you is what? Mercy. Mercy. I tell you what, there's some of you in this building tonight wearing mercy out. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You done come over here too many times, listen to that brother too many times preach, and you've got the Holy Ghost get on your path, and he tell you to come and get right with God, and you have told him no, and one of these times you're going to tell him don't too many times. And you know what's going to happen? The hammer is coming. Bam. It's going to be over. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, I'm young. Huh? You read the obituaries lately? There's a lot of people dying about your age. You said, I ain't even sick. Hey, obituaries full of people died that won't sick. They got me sick and die. Oh, no. You're wearing out mercy. Some of y'all come get saved right now. Just thinking about it. I'm talking about before mercy. Anyway, you remember now, you don't take nothing but dead cases. If you're dead tonight, you realize Satan got you in a coffin. Ain't no way you can get to God. You can't even scratch on the top of the coffin and tell anybody, hey, I'm in here, I'm dead, I'm on my way to hell. I tell you what, you're a prime candidate for God to help tonight. You say, preacher, I feel like God got me hung out over hell tonight. If you don't hurry up and get done, preacher, I feel like I'm going to hell. Oh, honey, you're a prime candidate to get saved tonight. Before mercy interrupted. You still with me?
Watch the text, if you would. Verse number 4.
Not only do we see in this text, we're talking about a divine intervention of mercy tonight. What is mercy? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God's withholding what we do deserve. We've looked at mercy before mercy interrupted. I want us to look at verse number 4 at when mercy interrupted. When mercy interrupted. I notice in this text there is the riches of this mercy. It says here, but God who is rich in mercy. That little word rich there is abounding with. It is the little word exhaustless. David said over in Psalms 1:3, he said that God was plenteous in mercy.
Oh, I tell you, you can't wear God's mercy out for the child of God. He continues to give us what we and withhold from us what we don't deserve. Oh, He is rich in mercy tonight. Oh, I think about the mercies of God. I remind you now, His mercy is like His love. It is not something that He is tonight. It is not something that He does, but it is something that He is tonight. He doesn't show mercy. He is mercy. He doesn't show love. He is love tonight. Oh, tonight when I think about the richness of His mercy, He is the merciful God tonight. It is manifested through the merciful Son, and it is applied through the merciful Spirit tonight. God is full of mercy. He is merciful tonight. Full of mercy tonight. Oh, I tell you, don't wear God's mercy. I tell you what, my wife used to teach years ago. She used to teach a little black boy, and he'd tell some of the kids sometimes, "You're getting on my last nerve." You know, some of you tonight's on God's last mercy nerve. Huh? Oh, He's plenteous in mercy. Oh, He's got so much mercy. And after a while, honey, you can wear His mercy out. But all I notice in this text, I'm talking about when mercy interrupted, when God stepped in and butted into your life with mercy. I see from the text there was the richness of this mercy. But I notice in verse number 4, we are confronted not only with the richness of this mercy, but we are confronted with the river of this mercy. Yes. He said, but God who is rich in mercy, for... I didn't know if you'd see that little word or not. I thought I'd underline it. F-O-R. It's a big word. That little word for there is because of, or in account of, or in order to satisfy. And the little word for that is the vehicle on which the past thing that is mentioned is going to travel on. He's been talking about mercy. Now He's going to bring up love. He said, mercy, when it comes to you, He said, it's going to be traveling on the vehicle of love. Son, what in the world is love tonight, preacher? God said He's love. What in the world is mercy tonight? God said He's mercy. Mercy's going to come riding on love tonight. Oh, isn't that good? So we ought to stop right there and have a shout break. Huh? But notice what kind of love. It ain't just any kind of love. He said, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love. Oh, it's not just love tonight, it's great love. That little word great there is more, much larger, more than is needed tonight. When God brings you and us mercy in order to save us, He comes riding for His great love tonight. When God decided to withhold from you and I what we deserve tonight, how did it come to us, preacher? I tell you, it come riding on the river of love. Oh, gracious, I stand amazed tonight that God would love the likes of me. Love, that which is called out of the heart of the one who sees the preciousness in an object, and he finds that it's so precious that he's willing to die for that object tonight. Oh, can you imagine a merciful Christ tonight dying for the likes of you and I and withholding from us hail tonight? Oh, what a merciful Christ He is. But I'd only see the riches of this mercy, the river of this mercy, but I see the revelation of this mercy. Look at verse number 5.
He said, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us.
The word quickens an interesting word. It's a little word in the Greek, Zoe.
I've got a granddaughter named that name. Zoe. Z-O-E.
It's the word quicken. What does it mean, preacher? I don't know. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. It means to raise the dead. Don't you remember where I was at now before God said, I'm talking about before mercy interruption. You remember he had me in the coffin. You remember he done, I mean, I'm talking about hell's undertaker. He done got the crank out. He had me cranked down in trespasses and sin. I did not even have the spiritual energy to scratch on the top of the coffin. But God. What did mercy do, preacher? Quickened me. See, I was going over the dam. I was going over the waterfall. See, I was in that coffin. Oh, gross. He had it air sealed on me. He had me locked down in trespasses. I couldn't even scratch on the top and tell anybody I was lost. And I was going through the course of this world. I was in that coffin, and I was coming up right to the precipices of a waterfall, and I was a-fixing to go to hell.
Yeah.
And here come mercy,
yeah,
riding on love.
Yeah.
And he come there to the coffin. He kicked both ends out of it,
yeah,
and told me live.
Yeah.
And I did live.
I'm
not asking you tonight if you have any historical recollection of getting saved. I know some of you would say you do. Oh, yeah, preacher, I remember when I prayed. Preacher, it was right over here. I remember praying the sinner's prayer. I remember it like it.
No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking you tonight, do you remember being raised from the dead? Do you remember being dead and him coming by and saying, live?
You say, preacher, I just don't know if I've ever been raised from the dead or not. Hey, you reckon if I got old Lazarus in here tonight and asked him if he remembers if he's ever raised from the dead or not, you think he'd get up? I just don't remember. I got so many doubts about it. I don't know if I've ever raised from the dead or not. Oh, no. He'd already started speaking, huh? He didn't have no business to stretch on the wall of that tomb and tell anybody he needed to get out of that. There was a man by the name of Jesus one day come by there and he said, move that rock one there. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus did come forth. I remember the day he called me from the dead. I was going over the purpose for the last time. Well, what did he do for you, preacher? He showed me mercy. What is mercy tonight? Withholding from me what I deserve. And when he withheld from me what I deserved, did you notice from the text there? Look at it. Don't miss it. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with Christ? By grace, you're saved. When he withheld from me what I did deserve, that was hell. What did he do? He showed me grace. He gave me what I don't deserve. Oh, grace. He said, by grace are you saved. I was interested in that little word, saved. Did you see it there? By grace ye are saved. Ah! I didn't know if you see that ED or not. I thought it was interesting. It's in aorist tense. I didn't know if you noted it or not. There's three tenses to your salvation. Some of you, as far as I can tell, you ain't never been saved one time. Oh, God's been saving us three times. Oh, yeah. Salvation in three tenses. Oh, yeah. First time he saves me. He saved me from the penalty of sin. I ain't going to hell. It's called justification. But he is now, right now, in the process of saving me from the power of sin. It's called sanctification. And one day, he's going to save me again. What's going to save you from this time? He's going to save me from the presence of sin. It's called glorification. That little word saved there, three tenses to it. Oh, I love that, aren't you? Huh? I'm not wondering, anything going on in your life? Huh? You've been saved from the penalty of sin tonight, you know you ain't going to hell. I love what the old man, I know I've told y'all this before, the old mountain preacher up there not long ago, he was preaching on 10 reasons why I know I ain't going to hell when I die. They said he never got past the first one. He never got to the other 9. They shouted him down, they're swinging from the rafters. First one, I love the first one, I don't know what the other 9 are, but I just know what the first one. He said, the reason why I know I'm not going to hell when I die is because I'm not headed that way. Oh, I love the hell of that. Huh? See, there's some of you, I can't tell which way you're headed. You can't tell it by the way you look.
You can't tell it by the way you act. You can't tell it by the places you go, people you hang around with. Oh no, I want it to be clear. I am going to hell because I'm not headed that way because I have experienced mercy and grace.
I'm not talking about before mercy interrupts. I'm talking about when mercy interrupts. You got that Bible there? Let's look in this text. And let's point out tonight not only before mercy interrupts, when mercy interrupts. But let's look at since mercy interrupted. I'm now saved now. Before I was saved now, you got any recollection of that of being in that coffin? Devil had the thing air sealed on you. You didn't even have a pile to reach up and scratch on the top and tell anybody you was lost. You was dead. You couldn't reach up to him. You couldn't choose him. He hadn't chose you. You'd never chose him. Huh? You couldn't reach up to him. He had to reach down to you. You couldn't accept him. He had to accept you. You couldn't call on him. He had to call on you. It's all about him. I was going over the damn place. I was going to hell. And he stopped the coffin, kicked both ends out, and said, arise. And I did arise. Huh? Before mercy interrupted. When mercy interrupted. But notice since mercy interrupted. The further you go with God, I know some of you have been saved at different times. Some of you have been saved a few months. Some of you have been saved a few years. Some of you have been saved a long time. But the further you go with God, you'll notice that He interrupts in bigger and bigger ways with this thing of mercy and grace. And I tell you, mercy, God withholding from us what we deserve. Grace, God giving us what we do not deserve. I tell you, it'll only get bigger. But this text here tells us something about since mercy interrupted. I noticed two or three things since mercy interrupted. I noticed in verse number 6 that we're seated together. What? We're seated together. I started this message tonight in my preliminary opening remarks telling you that I was already in heaven. Do you remember that? And I noticed some of you looked at me like deer looking at caught in headlights.
What in the world is this Liberty Baptist believing now? Gracious, they're telling people over there that they're already in heaven.
No, no, no. It's not Liberty Baptist doing that. I didn't know if you noticed or not, but tonight if you're saved tonight, the Bible said you're already in heaven. Huh? And it's not something I made up. You look at it for yourself. Look at verse number 6. He says He has raised us up together and made us sit.
Now, most of you know I didn't do well in English. I was in 10th grade 3 times.
But I do know that that little word sit there is in the present tense. Right now, I'm in heaven. See, I ain't all here tonight because I ain't all there. But in the mind of God, I'm already there. I am sitting there with Him. One day I'll have to tell me to get up so I can sit down. I like that, don't you? Preacher, how come all of that happened? Oh, it all happened because of mercy tonight. God withholding from me what I deserve. He said He hath raised us up together. See, I'm not worried about dying tonight because I'm never going to die. Or don't you remember Jesus telling Martha down there by the grave of Lazarus? He said, He that believeth in me shall never die. See, I've been saved tonight. I'll never die. See, I've already had the ends kicked out of my coffin tonight. I've already been raised from the dead. Huh? There ain't no way I can die tonight. Oh, I might exhale here and inhale over there, but that's all death's going to be. That's all she's going to be. See, when Christ came to this earth and lived a sinless man, I was inside of Him. You were what? I was inside of Him. Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, He placed me inside of Jesus before the foundations of the world. See, I was inside of Christ while He was here. He was living that perfect and sinless life tonight, not for Himself. He was living it for me. He was placing it to my account. When they arrested Him, they arrested me. When they nailed Him to the cross, they nailed me to the cross. When He died, I died with Him. When they buried Him, they buried me. When He arose, I arose in Him. When He stood on the mountainside 50 days later and ascended back to glory, I ascended with Him. And when He sat down, I sat down with Him. How come all that happened, preacher? But God, through His rich mercy, since
mercy interrupted. I'm seated together. But I notice in this text, since mercy interrupted, not only am I seated together, but I've got a secure treasure. Don't miss this. This will knock your socks off if you get a hold of it. He says in verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He tells us in verse number 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You give it any thought to lately as to where Christ is tonight? I'm not talking about only being inside of me. You giving any thought to where He's at tonight? Because wherever He's at tonight, I'm there too. Let's think about tonight where He's at. We're going to draw us a line tonight. We've got the bottom point here on the earth. We're going to draw an upward line. We're going to let the point of our line reach to where Christ is. We're going to make our descent to where He is tonight. As we begin our descent, some of you are going to say, oh, gracious, we're at one of the highest mountain peaks in the world. Oh, honey, we're going to have to go higher than that. We're going to have to go just a little higher than that. As we continue to ascend tonight, we're going to begin to be in the clouds. We're going to be in what's called the stratosphere. Oh, don't get uneasy. We're going higher than that. We're going to come on through the stratosphere and we're coming among the stars. You're beginning to see some twinkles go by. Oh, we're going higher than that. We have just passed our nearest neighbor 4 light years away, the Milky Way Galaxy. Oh, honey, we're going higher than that. We're still ascending now. We are going by one of the last stars in our galaxy. It's 13 light years from now. Well, we're going to have to go higher than that. We are now in our ascent. We are now going out of the global girdle that embraces our globe tonight. It is that which locks in the folks down in Titusville. They have never flown out of it. We just crossed over that line. But we're going to have to go higher than that. After a little while, we're going to leave that area where there's over 300 trillion universes bigger than ours. We have just now crossed over into what's called glory life. The eternal world. But we're going to have to go higher than that. We're looking for Him, don't you remember? We're going to go from here, because the Bible says that we have been quickened together with Him. Well, where is He at? We're trying to find Him now. We have come into the glory land city. We have entered the gates. Oh, honey, just because you're in the gates, don't think you're going to be where He's at. How come? We're going to have to go higher. Where are we going? We're going to Mount Zion. It is the highest peak in the world. Oh, no, it's the highest peak in the universe. When you get to the base of Mount Zion, and you look up at Mount Zion, you're going to get right dizzy headed. But we're going to have to go higher. And when we get to the top of Mount Zion, there's going to be a throne there. Who you reckon sitting on that throne? The Bible said that Christ is sitting on that throne. Do you see Him up there? Sitting high and lifted up. By the way, who's that sitting there side of Him? That's me. How come you sitting up there, preacher? Mercy. And if you redeem tonight, can you see yourself sitting up there? High and lifted up.
sitting beside him. I'm telling you, it's a secure treasure. Ain't nobody going to knock you off from up there, honey. That's as high as you can go. Huh? Devil's already in hell. They sung that to us tonight. Oh, great. We're going to be showing off high cotton, ain't we? Huh? Oh, I'm talking about mercy tonight. Not only are we seated together, it is a secure treasure, but I notice in our text, it is a settled tense. A settled tense. There's three little verbs in this text. One of them in verse number one, and you have to quickened up. Underline it. Don't miss it. Again, he says in verse number six, and hath raised us. Underline it. That little phrase, made us sit. Underline it.
They're all three in the aorist tense.
What?
They're in the Greek aorist tense.
What in the world is a Greek aorist tense?
It means that it's already happened and it hadn't happened yet. You listening to me?
See, tonight, you send your kids over to school and they study history. You do have kids in history classes. You know what they're studying?
They're studying what a man has sat down and recorded about what has happened. God does not record what has happened. If God writes history, He writes what has not happened. He writes it before it happens. So tonight, we have already been quickened. We have already been raised. And we have already been made to sit with God tonight.
How come, preacher?
All because of God's mercy tonight.
But once, hey, some of you didn't look up there and see yourself high and lifted up, did you?
Now, once you're at that top pinnacle, mercy's over. Don't need no more mercy anymore.
Honey, if you're up there, you don't need nothing. Huh? You don't need nothing if you're that high. I mean, that's as high as you can go. It's glory land pinnacle. But what kicks in then? Watch the text. Don't miss it. Look at verse number 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace.
Grace doesn't kick in now. You remember what grace was, don't you?
God giving you and I what we don't deserve. I'm extremely interested in that little word, show. That in the ages to come, He might show.
Two words in our English Bible for show. S-H-E-W. One of them used in the temptation. Remember when Jesus, the devil took him up on the high mountain. He said, look out. He said, he showed him all of his keys. The little word show there in the temptation is to reveal in a moment. It didn't take but a moment for the devil to show Jesus everything he had. It didn't take him but a minute. Just a second. Just a brief span showed him everything he had. But watch this. Once we're up on that high pinnacle, we're up there with Christ.
He said that in the ages to come, He might show.
That little word show there means to turn the pages. Do you realize tonight, once you reach that high pinnacle up there, and time is no more, forever, God is going to turn the pages of His grace. He's going to keep showing you and I what He has given that we do not deserve. You say, preacher, are they ever going to take a break turning the pages? Not according to the text.
But how can I get to go there?
Mercy.
You're right.
God interrupting into your life with mercy.
You know, tonight, I've had a lot of interruptions in my life.
Yes,
I didn't like it. You ever had a telemarketer interrupt you? I have never had a telemarketer interrupt me in the morning, lunchtime, or supper time, and got off the phone wishing they'd go to heaven. You ever got off the phone and said, I just wish they'd go to heaven? Oh, no. I wish they'd go somewhere, but it won't happen. Huh? I'm talking about interruptions. I'm telling you something. There's a lot of interruptions tonight that are unpleasant. Oh, there are interruptions tonight that are undesired. There are interruptions tonight that's inconvenient. Some of you men tonight that are in your prime, you're working hard, trying to make a living. I tell you, for you to have a massive heart attack tonight and have a massive stroke, get laid up for a year tonight. I tell you, it'd be inconvenient for you. It'd be awful inconvenient. You know, I've had a lot of interruptions tonight. I even interrupt my life with mercy. And it was undesirable. And I didn't want it tonight. There are some of you sitting here tonight. God has stopped you tonight with His mercy. I beg you tonight, don't run by.